You're listening to the Therapist Mom Podcast, where private practice and motherhood collide. I'm your host, Ashley Kamajiz, and here's the deal. I'm not here to give you fluff or hustle culture advice. I'm here to give you strategy to build a private practice on your terms, while naming the hard stuff about motherhood and the broken systems we're stuck navigating. If you're ready for honest, practical, and unapologetic conversations, you're in the right place. Welcome to the show. One of the first things I see so many people ask when they decide that they want to start having a private practice or start building that is, how do I market my private practice? How do I actually get clients? And there's so much messaging out there about what you are supposed to do, put that in quotes, right? Like, and what are the different ways to market your practice? There's social media, directories, SEO, content, like all the things. And it can feel really overwhelming. I know when I was first starting out, I was coached that there was like maybe 10 or 20 different strategies that I should be attempting to start marketing my practice. It was extremely overwhelming. So if you are like that, if you have been told like these are all the things you can, you know, should be doing or could be doing, you might be feeling that pressure to just kind of keep up and questioning like, if I'm not getting clients, does that mean I'm not doing enough? But underneath all of that, there's a question that I don't think many people are asking, and I think it's one of the most important questions to be asking when it comes to marketing. And that is, what do you actually own and have control of in your marketing? The truth is that your website is the only marketing asset that you actually own. Everything else that you're doing for marketing is on borrowed space. So what I mean by that, I'm not trying to like scare you. This is not to say like your marketing strategy is going to fall apart if you don't have a website. I do believe you need a website, but this is to just kind of help create some grounded awareness to help you think about and create some strategy if you don't already have it around like building your practice, or if you already have your practice built, around how can you shift some things up in your marketing strategy. So when I say like you are building on borrowed platforms, what do I mean? So there's a variety of different platforms that I would consider borrowed. So a directory, so something like Psychology Today, Therapy Den, like there's a ton of different directories, but that a directory is borrowed, meaning you don't have any control over how that directory ranks you on their site. You don't control how often you show up in their like search, and you don't control, you know, who is ahead of you and who is, you know, after you, who's next to you in that kind of list of providers on that directory. So even if your profile is strong, even if you typically get a lot of inquiries, you can still be buried on that directory's website, depending on the number of providers they have coming in, depending on how they are, you know, pushing people to the front in their algorithm. So you don't have control and you don't own that. If that directory decided to close, or if you decided to no longer have a subscription with that directory, you no longer have that marketing platform. You no longer have anything that you worked so hard to build there. And honestly, social media is the same way. If Instagram decided to be sold and shut down, or, you know, I've seen this happen many times over the last few years where people have their business, whether it is a private practice or some other kind of business, solely on social media. And you know how there's been like those like Amazon outages and such, and that they can't get into that. And they're like freaking out because they don't have like an email list. They don't have control over what is happening on that social media platform. So there's zero control there, right? We cannot control what the algorithm decides to prioritize, to push to the front, to show people. And so you may be making amazing content on there that your ideal client, your ideal audience may never see, simply because you're not doing something really specific with the algorithm, or because for whatever reason, the type of content you're making is not as appealing. So then it becomes like this constant pressure that I need to just continue to create more, to stay visible, to be visible. And for what, right? Like, is it actually producing those referrals And again, like if that social media platform went away, either because you decided to no longer have that, or because that platform just is sold or does is gone, like you no longer have that. You are on their borrowed space. Now, this next one may feel like a little bit, I don't know if controversial is the right word. And this is not a knock on like group practices. I helped start a group practice years ago. I've been in group practices. I have zero desire to own a group practice, but there can be a time and a place for that. I fully believe that whether you want to own a group practice or if it makes sense for you working in a group practice is awesome. But you don't necessarily get to control your referrals. You don't control policies. You don't control like how your role evolves over time. And this is true not just for like a true group practice, but some of like the larger venture-backed capital platforms. I can't say their names, but you know, the ones that are try to be helpful, and oftentimes you hear their advertisements on podcasts, the type that, you know, promise to help you grow, you know, your practice. If you pick up what I'm putting down. So you don't have control there, really. Again, like, how are you ranking? How is your profile being shown to people? How are you getting referrals? So again, that's a really is a borrowed space. Now, this is one that may feel confusing, and I think it trips up a lot of therapists because you heard me start out by saying having a website is really the only marketing asset that you own. But that's only if it is not a subscription-based website platform. So what do I mean by that? So something like therapy sites or Brighter Vision, I think there's a couple others out there. These are platforms and companies that a lot of times specialize in websites for private practice and for therapists. And so they market it as like, we can help build this website for you. We will do the hosting, we will do your SEO, and you will have this whole website. And as a therapist, you're like, this is awesome because it feels like I actually own my own website. But if you decide, you know what, like they continue to put their prices up, I don't like how like the layout or the website is structured with one of these platforms. I don't want to pay for their like monthly subscription for this, then your website is gone. I have worked with a lot of therapists who are trying to figure out how to help their website rank better or like how to make it speak better to their clients. And they're on one of these platforms. I was when I first started private practice back in 2015. And there was very little that you can that I can control on there. And when I'm working with other therapists and we're looking at their website and we're talking about, okay, how do you use SEO to help you market? They're told things by these companies of, oh, well, that's not possible to rank for that, or like we did optimize that, but it's not showing up as that way. So there's not much control that you have on that backside of the website because really it is owned by this company. And so again, like if you want to be able to have much more control over your website and have a website that actually helps you bring in clients, a platform-based website is not going to fully give you that ownership. So now, if you hear me talking about all of these, right? Like, you know, the directories, the platform-based websites, the group practice, social media, if you are using any of these, I'm not saying that they are bad in and of themselves, but they are tools for your marketing. They're not the foundation, or they should not be the foundation of your marketing strategy. If your simple strategy is social media, if your simple strategy is directory based, I want you to really make sure you listen in to the rest of this episode because if those went away, you don't have a marketing system anymore because you do not own them. They are on borrowed space. They are controlled by something outside of you. And so it's not really a foundation. And when your entire marketing strategy is built on one or multiple of these, you really are just at a constant mercy of the system that you don't control. You don't have a say, right? Like you could be doing really well on social media and then Meta decides, well, we're going to change up the algorithm in this way. And you're like, what the hell? Like I've been working so hard at this and it got me this far and now crickets, right? So I want you to be thinking about with marketing, like, what does it mean to have ownership? How can I actually own my own marketing assets? And what I mean by that is ownership is I'm controlling my messaging. I'm controlling how my clients experience me, how they understand me, how they experience me through the website or through the directory, right? Like, so is that a good experience? Is it a negative experience? You control the journey from the point that the client finds you to the point of reaching out, and that you have control over ranking in the sense that you can control your SEO. You can do the things to actually get you to rank higher. You cannot do that necessarily on social media. With a website that you own, there's no algorithm deciding that visibility for you. There's no ranking system that's going to say, well, you're above this and you're below that. There's no gatekeeping of like, well, we can't do it that way, right? No one can take your website away from you overnight. That absolutely can happen with a directory. That absolutely can happen with social media. That absolutely could happen with one of the therapy platforms, right? But again, having a website does not automatically mean that you own your website. Because again, if you're building through those subscription-based platforms like TherapySide or Brighter Vision, you are still relying on their system. So you stop paying, your website disappears. You don't have full control over how it's built or structured or designed, and you don't have real control over like your SEO or how your site performs long term because you are not controlling that SEO. You are not fully on the back end of your website. True ownership of your marketing, true ownership of your website looks like having your own domain, controlling your hosting, right? Like what platform you are hosting on, how you are designing and moving and editing and changing your website whenever you want to whatever you want. And it's not tied to one company's specific platform or monthly fee and specific services that they offer. If you want something different, you can do that yourself. So it's not just about having a website when it comes to like having ownership of your marketing, but it's actually about having a website that is yours, that is truly, truly yours. Because again, if you don't fully own your marketing, you are constantly in this state of adapting and kind of reacting, right? Like, okay, well, what just happened now? Like Psychology Today changed some things up. And so then we're in this place of reacting instead of like building continuously on top of what we've already created and what we're already doing. We essentially are trying to make ourselves fit into somebody else's system that we have no control over. But when you do own it, when you do own your website, when you do own that marketing strategy, there is so much more stability, more flexibility, and really choice in how you grow. And honestly, like that's what we want, right? We want to have control over how we build our practice, how we run it, and how we are bringing clients in. This episode is brought to you by Jane, a practice management software and EHR that's here to make private practice life a little easier. Running a private practice means managing a lot of moving parts, and that's why I love how Jane helps bring a bit of calm to the busy by allowing me to create custom automations to help streamline my workload. Need to send intake forms or appointment reminders? Jane can automate those things, helping clients show up prepared and on time. And when it's time to pay, it's all taken care of. No extra credit card swipes or billing cleanup later, or having to go to a different system to file insurance claims. I want my practice management system to be something that feels like a teammate, not just more tech to figure out. And that's why I switched to Jane. One of the things that I absolutely love most about Jane? Their support team and customer service. You get unlimited help from real humans, even on Saturdays, by phone, email, or chat, all at no extra cost. If you're looking for an EHR that cares as much about the business side of your practice as you do about your clients, click the link in the show notes to book a free demo to learn more. And if you're ready to dive in, you can use my code ASHLEY1MO for a 1 month grace period on your new account. We've all been told we need to network in our private practice, but no one actually tells us how to do it or what to say. Enter Comprehensive Connecting, effective scripts that expand your networking community and actually fill your online practice. This free guide will give you effective scripts to connect with fellow clinicians, medical professionals, and community stakeholders to build strong networking relationships that will help fill your practice. In this guide, you will get tips and tricks for building relationships that will lead to referrals in your practice, real-life examples of messages used to connect with referral sources, and customizable plug-and-send scripts for your specific practice needs. So download your free scripts guide today by going to bit.ly/compconnecting. Now, the reality is the landscape of private practice has changed, especially over the last, I would say maybe 6 years with the change of COVID, with a lot of the like big companies and like venture backed platforms, because they're putting a lot of money into kind of dominating visibility. Like they are paying so that they're coming up first on search results, but they're sponsored, they're not actually ranking, or they are putting money so that you may sign up for their platform. They're giving you a Psychology Today profile, and then those that are paying for that service are bumped higher in that directory. And so then if you're not using their service, it's so much harder to stand out, because now there's a flood of providers on these directories. And so I know a lot of us are kind of feeling this pressure of like, is it even worth me continuing to do that type of marketing strategy? Is it worth me paying to continue to have that Psychology Today profile? So if you are questioning, like so many of us are, like, is it too late for me to start? Is the market too saturated? Like, am I going to even be able to get clients? If you are in that space, it makes sense, because it is harder in certain ways. And in other ways, it's not. Like, these are real struggles that some people have had. But I want to kind of shift this thinking, because what I can tell you from personal experience and from also seeing other therapists that I have been working with coaching, that it is not too late. Having a private practice that you are not dependent on some other big box venture-backed platform, that is not the only way to have a practice. Having your own practice that you own is absolutely possible, but it does require a different approach than it did, say, like 10 years ago, even 6 or 7 years ago. You have to have more intention with how you're showing up. You have to be much more clear in how you communicate and who you are trying to communicate to. And there needs to be much more of a strategy in how you're building your foundation. It's not enough to just say, I'm going to go put my stuff up on Psychology Today, and then all my clients are going to come in. Because there are so many more people going into private practice and kind of leaving community mental health and agency work. If you're marketing on these like borrowed platforms, there's much more competition, right? It's becoming a much more crowded space. And so then again, you're relying on the systems that prioritize visibility in a way that you can't control. So you're trying to keep up with more people, and they may have more time. They may simply rank better because that's just what the algorithm is pushing through. Like, they may be on one platform that then, you know, prioritizes them in a different way. And you may be seeing people on social media growing it, and like they have X number of followers and you have only, you know, Y number, and you're feeling like, oh, do I have to do more? But like, they may have a bigger budget. They may be outsourcing their content, those kinds of things. So there can be this pressure of like, I have to do more. I have to post more. I have to be everywhere. I have to do all the things because I really need clients. And if we're honest, that's where burnout starts to creep in, if it hasn't already been there before that. So borrowed marketing, when we're doing that, we're chasing that visibility. We're trying to keep up. We're constantly like churning out more, trying to have that constant output, and kind of always feeling like we're behind. But when we own that marketing, we have stability, because you have a place that is consistent and that people can consistently come to learn more about you and to find you. There is alignment because you are speaking directly to the clients you want to work with. There is clarity because you know what your message is and how it lands. And so then over time, the right clients start finding you. And as you start to understand who those right clients are, you may tweak things, you may fine tune things a little bit more. And then more and more and more of those right clients are finding you, simply because you have complete control over that website. This does not mean that you never use social media, you never use directories, but it means that those are things that should support your marketing instead of being your entire strategy. I like to think of your website as like the hub of a wheel, and that these other strategies come out from that. Everything should be coming back to that website, and that website is what is sealing the deal for you. If people aren't finding you directly from that website, if they're finding you on social media, they're still coming to your website. If they're finding you on a directory, they're still coming to that website. Your website absolutely could be a strategy in and of itself, and it has been mine. I haven't been on paid directories in 7 years, I think, 6 or 7 years, because my website has ranked so well. So, because, when everything is changing around you, it is really important to have something that is actually yours. Because if you have a website, then you are using it in a totally different way than, say, a directory. And it starts to matter in a different way because, again, you have control, you have say, you have design, you have autonomy there. But the question then becomes, I have this website, but is it actually working for you? And this is where I see a lot of us as therapists struggle, that there's like this disconnect. I've seen a lot of people say, well, I have a website, right? I may even own it, right? I'm not on one of those platforms. And so I have a website, check that box, I'm all good. But it's not just something that you check off when you start a private practice, right? Or like when you're growing your private practice, or if you've been in practice for a while and you're like, I'm going to finally start this website. Having a website in and of itself is not enough. When I see websites that I'm looking over with people, a lot of times I see like, oh, this is really visually appealing. It's clean. There may be multiple pages, which is awesome. But they're like, but I'm still not getting clients. And so that can feel confusing because they're like, I'm doing the thing. I have the website, right? I have the hub of my marketing strategy. I'm doing what I was told to do. So why isn't this working? And I've seen a lot of people then start to question, like, is this actually going to work for me? When I look at those websites, though, one of the things that jumps out to me right away is that websites are kind of being built like a digital business card. They all of a sudden, like, you get to the website and you start to learn about like the provider's credentials, all of a sudden about the services. They sound like very professional. It may even be written in a little bit more casual tone, but like it's all about explaining who the therapist is. There's nothing in the copy that is building connection or being very clear about who this therapist works with. There's nothing that's actually helping somebody landing on that page to say, this is who I want to work with, because they're not seeing themselves on that page. They're not seeing themselves on that website. Your website is not there simply just to exist. The purpose of it is to help guide someone through a really specific internal process. So when somebody lands on your website, they're first asking, like, am I in the right place? Is this like, I'm looking for a therapist. Am I on the right place? Okay, this is the therapist page. Now, does this person understand what I specifically am going through? Okay, they do. Do I feel safe enough? Do I feel connected enough to now reach out? Right? There is a process that we want to help walk potential clients through. And most of your potential clients are not reading a website like a checklist, right? They are scanning, they're trying to sense how they feel, they're trying to decide quickly if it feels like a fit. So, websites that sound overly clinical or that are like really vague, or they talk more about the therapist than the client, if they don't clearly say who you help, if they're not guiding someone on what to do next, those are the biggest struggles that I see consistently with websites where people are like, I have the thing, it's not working. And I want to normalize this, right? Like, if you're like, oh, that's me, like, this is where I'm at, don't beat yourself up. It's not your fault, right? Like, you may have been told somewhere along the way you need to have this website and you built it, which is great. But most of us have not been taught how to actually build a website in a way that brings in clients, that helps to convert viewers to people now sitting across from us in our therapy practice. And a lot of the advice out there can like overcomplicate it, or it makes it too very like surface level. Just do these kind of few checkbox things. Again, your website is like your hub, your home base. It's the place where you are controlling the narrative and speaking directly to that ideal client. You are creating that connection. So when we're talking about owning your marketing, it's not just about having a website, right? Like a website in and of itself that is not built on a platform that is built on, like, say, Squarespace, that in of itself is not enough. But it's about actually having a website that will actually work as a marketing tool. So if you're listening to this and you're like, okay, Ashley, here's the deal. I have a website, but it's not really doing anything. I'm not getting consistent inquiries from it. I want to just say this. Like, this is where I see so many people start to really doubt themselves. I'm doing something wrong. Maybe private practice isn't for me. I need to start over. You know, maybe I just need to not do private practice. But it's not what's happening, right? It's not that websites in general don't work, and it's not that you have messed up, but you were just not shown how to actually use your website as a true marketing tool, as a true strategy. You were not taught how to speak directly to your ideal client to help that person to feel like understood within the first like few seconds of landing on that page. You've not been taught how to help guide somebody from the point of learning about you on your site to actually reaching out to you to book an appointment. And really, again, it's not that you're not capable or that somebody who is struggling with this is not capable, but the strategy is just missing. That's what's missing, is the strategy behind using that website as a true marketing tool. And so this is where, when you own your website, I think it can become really powerful, because if you're like, okay, this isn't working for me, you're not now waiting for somebody else to make this change for you. You're not waiting to say, well, like, is Psychology Today going to just all of a sudden start ranking differently for me? Is that website platform, like, are they going to make these changes, or like, is that even possible? When you actually own your website, you can say, okay, it's not working the way I want it to, and now here's what I can do. Here's how I can adjust. I don't have to throw it all away. If you decide that that therapy website platform isn't working for you, and you want to start over, you're going to have to start over. You can't take that stuff with you. But when you own your own website, you get to control what you decide to lean into, what you decide to shift and change. Now, it can be hard sometimes when we have a website and we're like, something's not working here. And you're like looking over your website, you're like, I see this. Like, I feel like I have what I need. Sometimes we're too close to it, right? We know what we're trying to say. We know what we're trying to make happen, but it may not be what's actually being communicated. It may not be what's actually coming across. So if you're listening to this and you're like, all right, Ashley, I get this. I can see that my website probably isn't doing what I thought it was, but I don't fully know what to change. I don't really know where to go from here. That is exactly why I am hosting a website audit workshop on Friday, April 17th. Most therapists, you don't need more information. You don't need a checklist. You don't need more theory, but you need to actually see, what does it look like if a website is set up and structured in a way that can be that central marketing hub for you, in a way that brings in those ideal clients, helps you to be found on Google, and converts them from readers into somebody reaching out to you. Inside the website audit workshop, we're going to walk through real therapy websites. I'm going to pick a handful of them and I'm going to audit them live. And I'm going to be breaking down what's working and what's not. We're going to talk through what actually helps a site to connect and to convert. So that way, even if your website is not specifically being audited in the workshop, you can then take what we are doing and see, why is it not working here? Why is it working over here? And now I can look at my website through the lens and say, oh, this is now what I need to do differently. My goal, if you come to this workshop, is that you leave being able to say, like, I now get it. I now see what's missing. I now see why my website's not working the way I thought it would. And I know exactly what I can change. It's not something to be overwhelming, but to be really clear and to kind of be grounded for you. So if your website is something you've been avoiding, or that you kind of feel stuck on, you're not alone in that. It's something that most of us were not really taught how to do well. So even if you don't have a website, this website audit workshop may be perfect for you, so that you can see from the get-go, What are the things that are working? How should I be thinking about structuring it? And being able to look at websites to compare and contrast what to lean into and what not to, so that as you're starting out, you're not going to repeat some of the mistakes that I have made in the past. So if you want to join us, I want you to head to the show notes. I want you to grab your spot. Tickets are $20. The price is going to go up, and there's only a few spots left at that $20 ticket. It's going to be on Friday, April 17th at 12 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. It's going to be 2 hours, and we're really going to get to be hands-on and working through this. And I would love to have you there. So I just want to kind of wrap it up with this. Again, if you're feeling overwhelmed by thinking about marketing, I just want you to remember you don't have to be everywhere. You don't need to be chasing trends. You don't need to be doing something simply because somebody else is doing something. And you definitely don't need to be spending money that is putting that money in other people's pockets and building their business without actually building something that you control and own. But you do need something that is yours, and your website gets to be that. You get to have control, you get to have ownership, and that should be the main hub of your marketing strategy. Thank you so much for being here this week. I hope you will check out the website audit workshop, and I will see you back here next week. Thanks for listening to the Therapist Mom Podcast. If today's episode resonated with you, I'd love for you to share it with another therapist mom who needs it. Be sure to subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode. And if you'd leave a 5-star review, it helps more therapist moms find this space. For resources and ways to work with me, head to raisetoempower.com and check the show notes for all links mentioned today. I'll see you back here next week.